Christmas is my favorite time of year. It goes too quick. But you know, at our house, we celebrate Christmas every day, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, we love the Lord Jesus. He was born on Christmas Day. That's why we celebrate. And number two, my sister looks like Burl Ives. I don't eat good at Christmas, I'll tell you that much. I got a Fitbit on Christmas Eve. I put it on, it dialed 911. You know what killed me at Christmas last year, food-wise? The Kentucky Fried Chicken 12-day Advent calendar. Holy smokes, them five golden wings had me turtle doving all the way to the bathroom. I guarantee you. I ain't kidding. I could have dropped my pants and dropped a partridge out of a pear tree right there. I guarantee you. Every time I start getting a little too fat at Christmas, so my kids will buy me a Christmas gift to hint around that I'm too fat. You know what they got me last year? A Petri dish with flesh-eating bacteria. We run our kids up to the Walmart last year to see the Christmas village up there. We wasn't there more than 10 minutes. Somebody was already running a meth lab out of the gingerbread house. The hell? I mean, I love shopping at Walmart, but dadgum, that's like a meth maker's paradise in there, ain't it? Walmart's the only store in the world you can go and see somebody buying 16 boxes of cough syrup and some garden hose. Nobody thinks that's weird. You ever shot at Walmart after midnight? Holy smokes. Whoa, they ought to charge a cover charge in there after midnight. Dadgum, it's like a casting call for Ripley's Believe It or Not in that place. If you've never been to the circus, go to Walmart after midnight. You're bound to see a couple of bearded women, a toothless wonder, and the fattest man in the world on a scooter up there. They got good deals after midnight, though. Last time I was up there after midnight, 75% off self-esteem. That's right. I walked in there like this. I walked out like this. I was like this.
We live in a day and age of indoor cats, right? Somebody hears something offensive. They collect it from the ether, bring it to social media, and communicate to the world. Can you believe what he said? Now I got the tummy bubbles. Fuck your tummy and fuck your feelings. Life does not give a shit about your feelings. I don't care about your feelings, and you lot apparently don't care about my feelings, because if you did, you would have laughed at that Candlestick Park joke, but you did not. You did not. I think political correctness, woke, cancel culture, it's gotten so excessively out of bounds. Everybody in this room, you've heard something where you go, this shit's getting a little out of hand. For me, it happened 4 years ago. You see, there's a song banned from the radio waves, Baby, It's Cold Outside, because there is a generation that feels that this song implies, insinuates, is indeed, in fact, about rape. Rape. Are you fist-fucking me? A holiday song about flirtation written by a husband and wife duo. They won an Academy Award for this song. They used to sing at the end of their dinner parties as their guests left their home. It was popularized by one of the classiest gentlemen to come out of Steubenville, Ohio via Hollywood. His name is Dean Martin. Now, if you think Dean Martin sang a Christmas song about rape, I cannot wait for these young code breakers to find out what White Christmas is truly about.
I got two kids. I love them because that's what my lawyer taught me to say. Oh, you don't love your kids? Yeah, I love them, but not unconditionally. That's bad parenting. There's some things they can do. That's all I'm saying. Like, for example, let's just say on a Saturday night, hypothetically, I got drunk. Hypothetically. And then the next morning, I have to get up and take my kid early to his basketball game. And then he has a bad game. Well, I don't love him as much. That's all I'm saying. Like, what is wrong with you? I'm nursing a hangover and you missing free throws? I will leave you at this park. You better work on your fundamentals. I got a splitting headache and you traveling. Two boys I got. My firstborn is born a week late. We had to induce labor. Went in at 5 o'clock in the morning. She and him to 1 the next morning. Yeah, still didn't want to come out, so they used forceps, which are head pliers. Grabbed them by the head, yanked them out, ended up with a fractured skull. ICU for a week. True story. Second kid came out 6 minutes flat, rode out. Pretty sure he's wearing a top hat. It was amazing. Smacked his own behind. Psh. Took the nurse a little something, something for you. I was like, well, we have our favorite. Yeah, it's true. Everyone has a favorite kid. It's generally not your first one. Your first kid is your practice kid. That's the kid you mess up. You're not gonna be a good parent yet. You overlove it. Just comes out wrong. I can't even make eye contact with my oldest. Like, don't look at me, man. Go to your room. I mess you up. I'll turn this down. I'll see you on Tuesday. I admit that I messed them up. I already nicknamed them Mulligan. If you mess up your second kid, you're an awful parent. Stop producing. It's not your thing. This third kid gonna come out right. That's how all bad parents laugh. My kids got all C's. It's time for a bumper sticker. People ask me for advice all the time. Like, oh man, like, what age do you tell your kids that Santa doesn't exist? Here's an answer: when you can no longer afford their Christmas list. It's not rocket science. When yeah, my son gave me his Christmas list, I was like, yeah, man, he ain't real. I'm sorry. This is a ridiculous list. What is wrong with you? We can go halvesies. Daddy could put something on it. He came out with a ridiculous list. My second kid came out with the worst list. This was his list. He's like, look, Dad, I need a smartphone, some Air Jordans, and an iPad. I'm like, whoa, player. Santa don't do iPads. Santa does Legos and action figures. To which he responded, well, I feel like I had a pretty good year, so I'm gonna keep it on my list. And then we just uncomfortably stared at each other. Finally, I was like, well, I'm Santa Claus. I didn't want to tell you. I was hoping that your friends would tell you, and then I would avoid it. But you had backed me into a financial corner with your $3,000 Christmas list. Now redo your list and keep it under $150. Wipe your tears.
I try and schedule tours around school breaks. You know, like at Christmas one year, I did a bunch of shows in Florida. My wife and kids came down. My wife's family also came down because they didn't want us to have a good time. I'm kidding. I love my wife's family. Did that sound believable? I do love them. They're my in-laws. That's a strange term, in-law. It's like, are you related? Legally. In a court of law. In-law, it's like the opposite of being in love. We're in law. We law each other. Very much. In-laws are like family you're assigned. It's like, you want to spend your life with that person? You got to take those 10 people. All of them? My only issue with my in-laws is there's too many of them. My wife is one of 9 children, so every holiday, all 9 of the siblings and their individual families all get together and spend every moment together. Over Christmas, I went to a movie with 30 people. I didn't even know that was legal. We were walking around, people thought we were from a church. To put it in perspective, Jesus only walked around with 12. I learned very quickly, I don't want to do anything with 30 people. If I was on the Titanic and the last rescue boat was filled with 30 people, I'd be like, you guys, go ahead. I don't want to be there when you're trying to decide where to eat lunch. Often it was more than 30 people, because sometimes those 30 people will invite other people. So you'll have conversations and someone will be like, I'm your wife's uncle's best friend. I'm like, oh, there's a term for that. Stranger. You're a total stranger.
I got two brothers. My brother Matt is 4 years younger than me. My brother Devin is 18 years younger than me. Every year for Christmas, the three of us go in together on one gift for my dad. Like, we try to get him something big. Devin, the young one, doesn't always contribute his fair share. He gets his name on the card. He gets equal billing, but he doesn't chip in what he's supposed to. Same thing this year. We got my dad an iPad. He's like, yeah, man, I wasn't really prepared to spend that kind of money, you guys. I was thinking something a little bit cheap. You know, Devin, do whatever you want. From now on, we're just going to put a pie chart on top of the gift. Like, each slice of the pie represents how much that brother loves his father. You're at 4% deadbeat. That's a pretty pathetic piece of pie. That's not even a piece of pie. That's something that fell off the pie. Nice job, crumbs. I hope that you're proud of yourself. I do. He buys stuff for himself, though. He does that. He buys stuff for himself. He bought a $450 pair of Jordans. $450 for a pair of basketball shoes, and he does not play basketball. When he bought him, he goes, hey man, don't tell dad about this. I was like, I'm not gonna tell dad. By the way, you're 30, okay? You have a job and a house and a wife. It's not really dad's business what you do with your money. And then we were at dinner and my dad goes, Greg, can you pass the potatoes? I go, Devin bought a $450 pair of Jordans. He got grounded for 6 weeks, man. There's crazy people in New York City. There's crazy. And there's crazy people all over. There's crazy people here, okay? But usually you're in a car and they're not. Think about it. Usually it's just like, oh, they just roll the window up, no more crazy. You know, if you're next to a crazy person here, I mean, that's your fault. You married them or whatever, like, that's just, you can't. In New York, you have no choice. They're on the subway, you ride the subway, you're next to every. The subway is a mental institution. It is. I mean, it takes people places, but that is its secondary purpose. It is. I was on the subway one day, and this lady just walked on the subway. She started singing, all I want for Christmas is a fish sandwich. All I want for Christmas is a fish sandwich. All I want for Christmas is a fish sandwich. All I was like, come on, lady, we're in public here. Guess what song has been stuck in my head for the last 2 years? I can't get rid of it. That woman should not be homeless. She's a hit maker, okay? She may be one of the greatest lyricists of our time. I've heard 11 Taylor Swift songs. I don't know the words. I know all the words to fish sandwich. And guess what? Nobody's wondering what to get her for Christmas. You know that one woman that rides a train? I want to get her a gift, but I just, dude, she wants a fish sandwich. You got to listen to the lyrics. You're getting caught up in the beat, man. Six of you are going to wake up tomorrow morning. You're going to be in the shower. Be like, all I want. I hate Greg Warren. I hate him.
Christmas is a good holiday. It's when everybody be in love. I know it's Jesus' birthday, but I ain't never had no good Christmas when I was a kid. It was okay, you know. It was all right. Christmas was weird because it lied to the little black kid. You know, we lived in the hood, watched all them bullshit-ass cartoons. Santa Claus is coming to town and all that shit. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all that little wonderful show. And then there'd be all that little, you know, show with the little girl. Be like, she'd be standing out there looking, everyone! Wake up, it's snowing, it must be Christmas. And they run downstairs, they happy as shit. I got my dollhouse, I got my fire truck, I got my BB gun, I got a puppy, I got a duck. Damn, you got two pets? Ain't that a bitch?
that's a beautiful Christmas. My Christmas never did like this. My mama didn't wake us up till 12 noon. She's standing there with a house dress on, talking, all right, go on down there and open your shit. We running out there, yay! And before we can get to the end of the step, my mama like, hold on. Hold on, I gotta say something. The kid's excited, so we so proper. What is it, mother? I just wanna let y'all know, I did my best. Like, shit, I'm going back to bed. I know what that fucking means. Draws and socks.
How was your guys' Christmas? What was that last noise? There was like a consensus woo, and then I heard like a dying something. It was like, meh. Woo! And then the tail end, meh. That didn't sound human. Sounded like you stepped on a weird squeaky toy. Was your Christmas okay? You all right? Whoever made that noise is not wanting to speak up now. Like, that's just their regular voice. That's like, if he's gonna make fun of me, I'm not gonna talk anymore. Sorry. I got the worst Christmas gift ever. It was from my mom, and it was a calendar of inspirational quotes. And it was as bad as it sounds. I tried to use it. I was like, sure, I could use some inspiration. Why not? But the first quote of the year was so dumb, I threw the whole thing in the trash. Like, I was like, I don't even want to get to February if this is how you're starting things off. This is bad. All it said was, isn't it amazing that every morning you get to wake up and remember who you are? No? Not really. I don't know. First of all, if the first thing you have to do every morning is remember who you are, you're an alcoholic, probably. That's probably who you are. Is this a 12-step calendar? What is this, Mom? Where'd you get this? But I also disagree with the quote, right? Like, I don't, I've woken up many times, not that great. Maybe if everything has worked out for you in this life, then yeah, I bet it's fun for you to wake up, remember who you are. I bet it's great for Tom Brady to wake up every morning in his giant Tom Brady house and his big Tom Brady bed, and he's like, oh, who am I? I can't remember who I... Are you a supermodel? Wait a second, I'm married to a supermodel? Get out of here! Get out of... No. Are these Super Bowl rings? Hold the phone. Did I win 4 Super Bowls on last second field goals and interceptions that I had nothing to do with while I was sucking air out of footballs on the sidelines? Oh, that's right! I'm Tom Brady! Greatest of all time! Feels good to wake up, doesn't it, Giselle? Feels great. Ready to start the day. Someone fetch me my Uggs. Let's do this. Ready to go. But if you're just like the assistant manager at a T-Mobile kiosk, you don't wake up like that. That guy wakes up every day. I was really hoping I wouldn't wake up this time. How many pills are you supposed to take? This is ridiculous. Try again, I guess. I don't know.
My mom is so good, I never noticed I didn't have a dad, if I'm being honest. It never dawned on me as a kid. My mom crushed it. Single mom, single dad, she did it all. She did it all. And I think holidays are the best time for kids. Like, they're so fun. Until that moment when you find out it is all a lie. Yeah. Clap if you celebrate Christmas. Yeah. How old were you when you found out Santa wasn't real?
Like 12.
12? What grade is that? I was in sixth grade. Yeah, about the same? Yeah, that's too late. We learned it too late, way too late. I was so mad when I found out. I remember my mom was laying in her bed. I don't know why everyone parented from their bed in the 90s, but they did. That's when you found out all the drama. Parents in bed, calling you in. And my mom was like, "Hun, I gotta tell you something. Santa isn't real." And I was like, "What? Why have you been lying to me about this?" And she was like, "It's the Christian way of teaching you about the Lord." I was like, "He's not real either." And she was like, "No, no, 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 he is, he is, he is." And I was like, "Ah, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, God's not real." Do we have any other moms out here other than my own? We got a few, a few. How many kids do you have? Let's go there. How many kids do you have?
Three, actually.
You have three kids. Do you like them?
Love them.
No, I didn't ask if you love them. I asked you if you like them. Do you like them?
Like them.
You like them. Equally? Ooh, exactly. It's not true, Mom. She tries to say she loves us equally. I know I'm her favorite. I know it. I'm putting it on TV. I'm her favorite. Take that, siblings. Ha-ha! Got him! Get her! Footage her. She didn't nod her head no. Okay.
Spent some time living in West Palm Beach, Florida. Was down there for 13 years. Yeah, I was down there. That was a bad call, because I got this Irish skin, right? Walk outside, go from pale to skin cancer in like 20 minutes. Burst into flames like some magic trick. It was ridiculous. When I was living down there, my mom, she still lives outside Detroit. So the holidays would come around, she would always try to find some new and improved way to get us to come and visit her up north, right? She tried this one year. She goes, "You guys need to come up here to Michigan for Christmas." I'm like, "Why?" She goes, "Well, up here, it's Christmassy." Say what? She goes, "Snow on the ground. Everybody knows snow means Christmas." I'm like, "Ma, Jesus was born in a desert." I don't recall Mary and Joseph looking for a room on a snowmobile. And it's not like they had the baby, didn't know what to name it. Somebody had to walk in from outside going, "Jesus Christ, it's cold out there." I'm like, "Ma, Jesus was born in a desert in the Middle East, surrounded by sun, sand, and Jews. I live in South Florida." Ta-da! It doesn't get any more Christmassy than that. Crazy decorations to go to her place. She got lights everywhere, big tree, manger underneath the tree. Beautiful manger. You know, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, all the little animals. And then, of course, to truly recreate the birthplace of Christ, train tracks surround the whole thing. Because as we all know, mass transportation, readily available 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. Folks, if there were trains around back then, I can think of at least, I don't know, three guys that would be really pissed off to find out about it. Can you see the three wise men trekking across the desert on camels for weeks, sweating their asses off, following the North Star? All of a sudden, about 100 yards off in the distance, the 515 to Bethlehem goes blowing by. Little drummer boy drunk in the bar car laughing at him. Fellas bar, up, up, up,
up. So when I was 9, I was having open heart surgery, and I was in the ICU, and it was around Christmas time, and I was hanging out with my dad, and that day the nurse came in and said, "Hey, we can have someone come in and see your daughter here in the ICU." And my dad was given two options. One option was Santa Claus, And the other option was Jason Fisk, the defensive end of the Minnesota Vikings. So he had to decide who his little girl would want to see the day before Christmas. A bearded, overweight man came in. It was not Santa. My dad chose Jason Fisk. He was on the Vikings player. I didn't know him. Like, I was like, what's going on? But like that day, I got to see like how excited my dad was. Like, he was so excited. He was like, yeah! You know, they're hugging, they're taking pictures. And I'm like, hey guys, I'm over here, you know? And he got his autograph, and my dad was just so psyched. And as a 9-year-old, I saw that, and I noticed, like, how important football was to my dad. So I was like, this is it. I was like, that's what I loved it so much, and we shared that together. So I became the biggest football fan because that meant I got to spend time with my dad. So every Sunday, that was our time, and we would get to watch, and it was so exciting, and I would get so amped up, and I wanted them to win so bad. Like, even as like a 10 and 11 year old, I'm just shouting things, and I know way too much. I'm like, gosh darn it, Warren Moon, you know, Chris Carter, get your act together, you know, why'd you guys go on that party boat, you know, just like really getting into it. So there's more to that story, and I was telling it recently. And as I was telling the story, like, this was actually one of my first times ever doing a big headlining week at my home club. Actually, the same club where I met my husband. So I was super excited to be doing the set. And as I was telling the story about my dad, like, I couldn't get through it. And, like, I couldn't finish my set. And I just felt just so awkward. And it was just really hard for me. And it got quiet. It was quiet like this. And I didn't think I'd be able to finish my set. And then someone in the back of the audience just shouts, "Your dad's proud of you." And I just lost it. And I was like, that is the best heckle I have ever received. And it was just so amazing. So now I go around to different comedy shows, and anytime there's like a lull, I just shout out, "Your dad's proud of you!" And it's so amazing. Like, it changes everyone's lives. Like, it meant so much to me. Because, like, my dad wasn't a very vocal person, but I could totally see him, like, paying someone to shout it, you know? It's like, yeah, here you go, you tell her, she'll know it's me, you know? So it was just a really cool moment. Thanks for letting me share that with you guys. So, I love penguins, right? They're so cute. They're just the best animal in the world, which is why I'm kind of mad at Santa Claus. Because the penguins hang out with Santa all year round, and it's the penguins' dream to fly. They're like, we want to fly, we want to fly, you know? And Santa has the magical ability to make animals fly to guide his sleigh, and he's completely ignoring the penguins. We want to fly, we want to fly. He's like, you'll never fly. You know? Instead, he's importing reindeer from Canada. And I don't know if you know this, but Canada is like the North Pole's Mexico. So the penguins are like, they're stealing our jobs, you know? Right? Because they don't understand, you know, Santa's the one doing the hiring, you know? But like, but they are up in arms, right? But they can't show it. I was doing that joke a couple weeks ago, and a guy came up to me after the show and was like, just so you know, penguins don't live in the North Pole. And I'm like, yeah, either does Santa.
I used to climb trees when I was a little kid, and then I fell out of one. I didn't get hurt or anything. I just smashed all my Christmas presents. 3 years in a row. And that is what I get for reaching for the stars. Don't do that. I almost drowned when I was a little boy. That was pretty scary. I was wearing those floaty things. Yeah, I did learn a valuable lesson. Don't ever put them on your ankles. No, seriously, you cannot paddle fast enough. I did get a good look at the bottom of the pool, though. And, I found 50 cents. Money, not the rapper, sir. You know, like, hey. This guy's like, CD release party.
Most favorite uncles and aunties don't have their own kids, so they spoil their niece or nephew, you know. But I have kids, but I'm a favorite uncle. So my nephew wants to get in entertainment. He know I'm in entertainment. So he said, "Unc, I'm having a play. Will you come to it?" I said, "Yeah, I'm coming to support you, man." So I went, and it was at Christmas time. Every child came to the microphone. They said their little part for the play. It's my nephew's turn. I'm like, "All right, go ahead, nephew." He came up. His line was, "Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem." We know that. He came to the microphone. He was like, "Hi." "Jesus was born in the city of..." Because the Sunday school teacher was behind the curtain like, "Bethlehem, Bethlehem." He was like, "Okay." "He was born in the city of Birmingham." I slid up like, "Yeah!" I didn't know he was from Alabama. I didn't know. So the play went on. You know, you go collect your kids after the play. So my brother and I went up to him, and my brother put his arm around him like, "It's going to be okay, son. This must not have been the first Sunday school play he messed up." Because the Sunday school teacher was like, "No, it's not going to be okay. Now, he is 16 years old." That's my guy. "How old are you, son?" 14. See, can you imagine forgetting that right there? He like, "Nah." His dad like, "He better not know that Jesus. Jesus not from Alabama. On Talladega Nights, baby Jesus was from Alabama, but that's not."
Last time I was in New York, it was Christmas. I'll never forget this. I was driving to get my mother a Christmas gift, and this woman cut me off, and I got New York on her. I was like, "Fuck you, bitch." I was honking and gave her the finger. It was my mother. Yeah. True story, I gave my mother the finger on the way to buy her a fucking Christmas gift. But if you think about it, she raised me to be this way, so she fucking deserved it, you know? Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Surprise! Fatty likes Thanksgiving. I like New Year's Eve, because there's no religion, there's no family, there's no gifts, it's fucking drink, that's it. And at midnight, you scream at midnight. Everybody screams at midnight. That's the best time to kill somebody. I mean, don't, but if you're gonna kill him on New Year's Eve, nobody would know. Just stand and go like, "Hey! Happy New Year! 3, 5, 4, 3! Oof, that was past that. Threw my back up. I like Halloween, but it changed. Halloween was a kid's holiday, and now it's for sluts. They stole the holiday from kids. Every costume is slutty. Slutty cop, slutty nurse, slutty cat. A lot of women dress like slutty cats. I don't fucking understand that. I don't want to fuck a cat. Like, I've never seen a cat going, "I want to fuck that cat. I'm gonna trap that cat and fuck it." It just feels illegal, you know? And costumes are meant to be role played. So how do you role play the cat? You take your shit in the box under the sink, start wiping your ass on the carpet. Yeah, suck my dick, kitty. You guys really take shit seriously? I don't fuck cats. I'm sorry, you guys pro cat fucking? Sexy nurse is my favorite costume because nurses come with a memory. They're in charge, you gotta listen to them, but they're there to help you. They see you naked, they touch things. So I was dating a girl for Halloween, she was a sexy nurse. And I was like, "Hey, let's do a nurse role play." She was like, "All right," but she knew how to do it. She was like, "You have cancer." I have 6 months. Doesn't honey mustard sound like a fat stripper? Please welcome to the stage, Honey Mustard. She's looking for wings in the crowd.
the summer of 2017, I hosted a show called The MASH Report, which was on the British Broadcasting Corporation. It was a political comedy show. Imagine The Daily Show, but if it was weekly and had a budget of 3 pence. But we started doing the show, and I worked with a group of people that I really love very dearly, and we made a programme that I was really proud of. And in the summer of 2017, no one watched it, which was fine. Then in January of 2018, something terrible happened. People started watching it. Clips from the show went viral, and it landed on the radar of several people who did not like it. And all of those people had columns in conservative newspapers. And so I would open conservative newspapers and see articles with my face on it that just said, "Get this fucking comedy show off the television! It's the most offensive comedy show! Get it off the television! Get it off the television! Get it off the television!" Then I'd turn the page and there'd be an article that just said, "Is cancel culture killing comedy?" "Have the woke left cancelled our ability to have a laugh?" Then you turn the page. "Get this fucking Indian man off the television! He's making fun of Boris Johnson, my friend, my only friend!" Now, the reason that they were upset was they said that our show was biased towards the left of the political spectrum and as such compromised the BBC as a taxpayer-funded public broadcaster's commitment to impartiality. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of the specific terms of the BBC's charter, but the BBC does have a commitment to impartiality in its news output. The BBC is not required to be comedically impartial. The BBC doesn't have to occasionally show an episode where Fleabag fucks an ugly priest. They don't have to do that. "Oh, the BBC, Fleabag fucked a hot priest. What about an ugly priest? Where is the balance in the BBC? What about a hot imam or a Buddhist monk who's all right from certain angles?" But the intensity of the coverage and its hostility increased and increased and increased. And as the host of the show, I was often the face of those articles. And the negative press interest in me started to increase and increase and increase. Then it culminated in an incident that had nothing to do with the television show, but everything to do with the last major event to happen in my life before the world went on hold. On the 2nd of December, 2019, I found myself in either Park Lane or Mayfair. If you've been there, you know it doesn't matter. It's the same place twice. Next to each other. It's the same soulless unaffordability. For full context, the dark blue ones on Monopoly. That's who we're talking about. Now, the reason I was there was I was giving a performance at a charity event in a 5-star hotel organised by the Lord's Taverners, who are a wonderful charity who do great work providing sporting equipment to disabled and disadvantaged children. And every Christmas, they have a luncheon where they charge £150 to £200 a plate, and they raise thousands of pounds for the projects that they can use to provide sporting equipment to disabled and disadvantaged children. It's a fantastic event. There's a raffle, a silent auction, and crucially, a comedian gives a 20-minute performance. And in 2019, they asked me to be that comedian, and I said, "Oh, no." Because I've attended that event as a guest of the charity. I've sat amongst that audience, and in terms of its political beliefs, I mean... it's very much a case of small C and big C cunts. Just... cunts. Cunts. I know you expected me to say white, not white, red. Red, red men. I don't know what happens to rich, white English men, but they hit 60 and all of the blood in their body tries to leave it via their face. Oh, there's a lot of men in there who either have gout or are being held in a medical state known as pre-gout. Listen, I like cricket as much as the next person. I don't tend to leave the house dressed as the ball. Oh, the men are red. So they asked me, and I said no, because I thought it was a bad combination of performer, material, and audience. But then I had a word with myself. I thought, come on, Nish, it's Christmas. Tis the season. Honky Diwali. Cracker Ramadan. Do something nice. And then I said this complete sentence to my girlfriend. At the end of the day, it's an unpaid charity gig, 3 weeks before Christmas Day. What's the worst that could happen? 24 hours later, a news story about the events that had transpired during my set at the Lord's Taverners Christmas lunch under the headline, "Comedian Pelted with Bread Rolls at Charity Event," was the number one most read story on several news websites. My mother found out because my cousin phoned her from Singapore. Now listen, I'm going to tell you everything that happened in the 24 hours between me arriving at that hotel and me ending up in the news, because it was a debacle. It easily shot its way into my top five worst gigs of all time. I'll give you a flavour of the rest of that list in chronological order. 2007, chased off stage by a Scottish heavy metal band. What had happened is the venue had been double booked. I went on and it turned out the band and its fans not in the mood for my brand of whimsy. 2010, Kilburn, Northwest London. Look, someone threw a banana at me. Now, this is a bit more complicated than it first appears. I was on stage doing an impression of a bad Cockney accent like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. I said, "Oh, have a banana." A man at the back stood up and shouted, "Here you go," and threw one at my fucking head. And in case you're wondering, the gig did not recover. It's very hard to have a nice, relaxed time at the comedy when performer and audience are thinking, "Were we just in a hate crime with props?"
Now, I love my wife. She is the most amazing person in my world, and I wouldn't be as good a person now if it weren't for her. There's a lot of comedians that will poke fun and they'll make fun of their significant others and wives, and they'll be like, "Oh, women are different and weird." I'm gonna do that too. First thing I don't understand. First thing, holiday candles. You know what I'm talking about? The Christmas scented candles? The ones that are scented like evergreen, balsam, holly jolly gumdrop nonsense. First thing my wife does after Christmas ends, she boxes them all up, she runs and she puts them in a closet in the basement where we can't find them next year, because that's a fun game. First thing she does after boxing up all the Christmas-scented candles, goes out and buys all new scented candles. Why can't we use Christmas candles all year round? Are we worried we're going to have guests come over in July? They're going to walk in and smell them and be like, "Oh, what day is it? Is it Christmas? I've done zero shopping." Second thing I don't get, kitschy little wooden home signs. You know, the wooden signs that have paragraphs of sayings etched into them. You know, the thing you want to read as soon as you enter someone's house. They have sayings like, "Home is where the heart is." And "A house is just a house until it's filled with people that you love. Then it's a home." Who are these signs for? They're not for me. If they were, they would be honest. And they would say things like, "Home is where my farts are." And "A house is just a house until I get there, immediately take off my pants, and then it's a home."
You gotta know your love language. I read a book. Some guy wrote a book, Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a book called Five Love Languages. According to Dr. Gary Chapman, there are five languages of love between a man and wife. Tammy and I read that book twice in 1 week because we didn't see our love language in there. Yeah, apparently bitterness, sarcasm, not part of Dr. Gary Chapman's love life. That's all I noticed. My parents had their own love language. 57 years they were married before my mother passed away. That last Christmas we knew would be Mom's last Christmas, so it was a special one. We knew this would be it. So anyway, we were all sitting around watching television, the movies, Wonderful Life, those Christmas movies. My mom's doing her crochet, my dad's in his chair, and he starts serenading my mother in their love language. 57 years of marriage. My mother didn't miss a beat. She didn't say anything. She puts her crochet down. She goes into the kitchen, comes back 20 minutes later with two hot dogs and a soda pop for her husband. How cool is that? So that night, I'm laying in the fajita with Tammy. And I'm talking. I said, "Did you see that today?" She goes, "What? My parents, did you see that whole thing?" She goes, "I did." And I go, "You think we'll ever get there, you and me, on that level?" Tammy says, "Shoot me if we do. You start hocking hairballs at me like that, it's over." That was one of the most vile, disgusting things I've ever witnessed in my life. I almost chucked my dinner all over the kid's head. Wow, I thought it was beautiful. I married a tough one. My Tammy's a tough, tough woman. First thing she did when we got married was take my spine away from me. She did. She keeps it in her purse. It's handy in case I have to do something manly. 3 o'clock in the morning. I heard a noise. Here's your spine. Go down and see what it was. I hate that wake-up call. She hears a noise. I got to go down and see what it is. Well, if you were sleeping, you wouldn't have heard it. So go back to sleep. You won't hear the next one. Trust me, he's trying to be as quiet as he can. He'll probably apologize for waking us up. She should go down there. If he tracked mud on her new hardwood floor, she'd rip his thyroid out. She's got a temper. I mean a temper. I'm not talking irritability and sarcasm because that's what attracted me to her. Here's an example. We were eating breakfast one morning, just sitting at the breakfast, minding my own business, whistling. That's the kind of good mood I was in, whistling. Could explain why I didn't hear her ticking on the other side of the table. I just wanted to butter a waffle. You know what I'm talking about, man? You just want a butter waffle. No family business, no talk, no nothing. Butter a waffle. So I said, sweetheart, could you pass me the butter knife? Of course, now I'm thinking. Something must be bothering Buttercup. So I asked, something on your mind? She says, I'm fat. There's not a man in this room knows you can't respond to that. There's a twitch of the eye will get you killed at this point. If you're a newlywed, trust me, your wife ever says she's fat, you become mannequin man. You don't move a muscle. You certainly don't say anything. Just let her finish her thought, dig the knife out of the wall, butter the waffle.
I breathe a sigh of relief when the holidays are finally over. Anybody with me on that? And I'll tell you why, because I used to work in retail. Anybody here work in retail ever in their life? Where are my people? Over here? What's your name, the lady clapping? Patty will back me up. Most nerve-wracking time of year to be in retail is the holiday season, right, Patty? And Patty will tell you, it's not because of the crowds or the complaints or the parking or the returns. You can deal with all that. What it is, Patty will tell you, you spend an 8-hour shift in any department store that time of year, you have got to listen to that Christmas music over and over and over until you're out of your mind. And unless you're in sporting goods, you never have a gun. And I don't want to sound like a Scrooge, Pastor Dean. I like the little drummer boy as much as you. But enough is enough. It locks in your brain and you can't get it out. You're saying to people, thank you for shopping here. Ba-da-ba-ba-bum. Will that big cashier charge? Ba-da-ba-ba-bum. Get me a gun. The sound of the music mixed with the sound of children crying. Standing in line waiting to sit on Santa's lap. And you know why they cry? They've been listening to the music too. And they heard that song, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why, Santa Claus is coming to town. Now what 5-year-old needs that kind of pressure? You're halfway through that line, you realize you've got skeletons in your closet. I cry and I pout every day. And he knows when I'm sleeping. He knows when I'm awake because he's stalking me. I'm not getting anything. Then they play, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. I'm 7 years old, picturing this wino slip my mother the tongue. Back off, Whitey. I'll show you some pouting. But that wasn't the worst, was it, Patty? Patty will tell you, They played the most repetitive, obnoxious, lengthy, horrible song. Your knees would buckle when it came on. And everyone in this room has heard the song. I know you've heard the song. Of course, I'm talking about that song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Now, first off the bat, I will tell you here and now, I frankly do not believe that song. I cannot believe that anyone is this into birds. All right, you think about it, Rosie. On the seventh day alone, this guy's getting 7 swans a swimming, 6 geese a laying, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge. That's 23 birds. Who is this man? Alfred Hitchcock? Now, by the 12th day, Patty will tell you, he has accumulated 42 swans a-swimming, 42 geese a-laying, 36 calling birds, 30 French hens, 22 turtle doves, and 12 partridges. Now, I hope this man's got a newspaper subscription. Because that's 184 birds. And we didn't even take into consideration those geese are a-laying. Some of those eggs will be a-hatching. And that's not bad enough. Patty, tell them what comes next. Don't worry, I got you covered. They ship in show business people, ladies dancing, drummers drumming, pipers piping, lords a-leaping. Which is good work if you can get it. Where do you get a job as a leaper? Out in front of Home Depot? I understand you're hiring leapers. I come from a long line of leapers. My father leaped off a bridge. My mother leaped for joy. Are you hired? And all right, I'll split the difference with you. I'll accept the fact that these ladies dancing, drummers drumming, pipers piping, even the lords are leaping. They're all in show business. Maybe they're used to taking gigs around the holidays. But what about those poor maids of milking? They ought to be home with their families on Christmas, not yanking on a cow. I can just picture them sitting on their stools. He brings in one more stinking bird. And I'm not picking those pears. Get one of those idiots leaping. Next year, just send the gold rings. Because you can't re-gift a partridge in a pear tree. Can you?
Nope.
Who would you give it to? Where are my re-gifters out there? Be honest. For those of you who don't know what a re-gifter is, that's when someone gives you a present and you turn right around and give it to someone else. We have one friend that forgets and gives us stuff we gave her. One year she actually gift-wrapped and gave me a book I had loaned her. That's legendary cheap.
I feel like I want to end the show on a positive note, a happy story, a happy Christmas story. Why not, right? Why not? This is something that happened to me when I was 7 years old and my older brother John was 9. And we came home on Christmas Eve. We had a half day of school and my mother was in a panic. And she said, we got to get in the car because right now we have to go out. We have to buy a pinata. No, she's right to be weirded out. That's very strange. That's a very strange thing to want to do on Christmas Eve. I should say for the record, my mother was severely mentally ill. She had borderline personality disorder, which you don't know when you're 7 years old. You're just like, wow, mommy's fun. Until she's not. But 7 years old, pinata, I'm in, right? I'm like, pinata, pinata, pinata. And so we drove around, and I don't know if any of you have ever tried to purchase a pinata in December in suburban Massachusetts. It's not a real big Mexi culture, but We went to Sears, we went to Kmart, we went to Leechmere, RIP. And finally, we found like a place that had one of those just Cinco de Mayo donkeys. And my brother John was like, Mom, that's a donkey. And she's like, it's a reindeer. And he's like, but Mom, it's yellow and purple and green. It's a Mexican reindeer, Feliz Navidad. And so we brought home this piñata, and I was like ready to go. I'm like, piñata, piñata, piñata. My mom's like, no, you have to wait until your father gets home, which I knew was going to ruin everything because my father is a lovely man. He's mellowed out a lot over the years. But when I was a kid, my dad would show up every day at like 6 o'clock from work just filled to the brim with Irish Catholic impotent rage. Did anybody have a dad who would like swear through clenched teeth? And like, until I was 12, I thought my dad's jaw was wired shut. It's like all the time. And so he came home and we were like, piñata, piñata. He's like, no, piñata. We have to go buy a Christmas tree. We had a piñata, we had no Christmas tree. Because we had a family tradition, a Finnegan family tradition, where you would only buy a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. Then I get older, and I discover that Christmas trees go 50% on sale on Christmas Eve. So it's not so much a tradition as a cost-saving measure. Christmas is a lot of pressure. My wife, every year, like around mid-December, she starts getting extremely excited to tell me about the presents that she has bought me and what she imagines my reaction to them will be. Like, oh, you're gonna love what I bought you. I can't wait till you open, you're gonna love it so much. And I start to get like panicked about it, you know what I mean? Like, and I've done it to myself because I'm really good at faking stuff. I fake it, man. Christmas gift reactions are to husbands what orgasms are to wives. Like, sometimes it's real. Sometimes you knock our socks off. But even when you don't, I appreciate the effort. Let's not make this weird. Sometimes you gotta pull the old Meg Ryan. But thanks for the snorkel. I never know if I'm done buying Christmas presents because my wife is so excited about what she's got me. I'm always like, I guess I gotta go buy more stuff. I end up buying like 50 gifts. Like, I have all feature acts, no headliner. Like, I have no... I get so jealous when I see those car commercials where like a guy leads his wife out and opens her eyes and there's like a Lexus in the driveway because he's done. He's done. That's it. No stocking stuffers for that guy. I cannot afford to buy my wife a Lexus. I'm not entirely sure I can afford to buy her the giant bow they put on top of it. Like, does it have to be real velvet or can we go synthetic on this? Maybe that's what I'll do next year, is I'll just leave my wife outside and be like, don't look, and I'll open her eyes. There'll just be a giant bow on our 2009 Honda Fit. Every year, our Christmas tree was like a Charlie Brown special, like some scoliosis piece of shit that we would bring home. And then we'd have to spend about 90 minutes while my father tried to stand to put up the tree. And younger people, you really lucked out, because tree stand technology has really advanced over the years. When I was a kid, you had to impale the Christmas tree onto a spike. I don't know if you had to like ram it onto, which is weird for Catholics, but you had to ram the tree on a spike and then drill screws into the side of it, like it was like Frankenstein's monster, right? And then my dad would eventually give up and drill a screw in the wall and use twine so the tree would like lean forward slightly. Like if you were to hit it, it would like swing like a pendulum, you know? And then we had to dress the tree. And this is where young people miss out. You guys were not around for the golden age of tinsel. Yeah, tinsel. The trashiest of all holiday decorations. The little thin strips of... Oh, did I love me some tinsel. I would just keep throwing gobs of tinsel on the tree. And my dad would be like, one strand at a time. I would not stop putting tinsel on the tree until it looked like it had been like gangbanged by cyborgs. Just coated in tinsel. Can't stop, won't stop. So by now, it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock. We sat down, we had our angry dinner, and you think, oh, okay, 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve, probably time for the family to settle in and have a nice Christmas Eve. Wrong. Because we were Catholic. Do you know what that means? Midnight Mass. Yes. If you are Catholic, you have to go to Mass at midnight on Christmas Eve. Because when you are Catholic, nothing can ever be purely enjoyable. Everything nice must be mixed with something shitty. So that you never forget that you do not deserve joy.
It's just insane that they say they don't have the money to pay employees more. Meanwhile, billionaires are so rich, they're literally launching themselves into space on vacation. I tell you, you gotta tax the rich. You have to, because the only time I've seen a billionaire's money actually go back into the economy is when a woman divorces them and gives away half their shit out of spite. Like, I honestly think it would be faster to just raise the next generation of charitable gold diggers. I would love to see that. Just, hi, I'm Portia, and I feed orphans. My name is Chandelier, and my two favorite things are doggy style and climate justice. I like my men like I like my grains, ancient and rich. That's a lot. Like, the only time I've voluntarily seen a rich dude give away his money was Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. That is the only time. And even that wasn't a happy ending. Could you imagine if the boss you hate, the dude that makes your life miserable year round, showed up to your house on Christmas Day, the one day you don't have to look at that dude? He just went, good news, I've decided to pay you a living wage. You can afford medicine for Tiny Tim. I would have been like, oh my God, thank you so much. But this could have been an email. It gets better. I've decided to have dinner with you and your family. I would have been like, you know what? I'd rather Tiny Tim die.
We used to be poor in life. We used to be poor when they were young. They didn't realize it, though. But the interesting thing about growing up poor is you don't really realize you're poor because everybody around you is poor. You know what I'm saying? If everybody in your neighborhood's poor, everybody at church is poor, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know better. I had one kid in my neighborhood. He had the Ninja Turtle blimp and like 14 Ninja Turtles. I was like, this guy, they sell drugs. Because we didn't have no turtle. All them toys, man, we couldn't get them. I remember one time my dad got me a toy for Christmas. The only thing he got me, I opened up, it was like Batman coupe, Batman included. I opened it up, it's just the coupe. Ain't no Batman in there. I'm like, hey, where's the Batman? Do you want anything or not? There's a kid in Africa who ain't got no food. I'm like, okay, y'all gotta stop using that. And what do the parents in Africa say? There's a kid in America killing a burger right now. You better enjoy these grits. I used to always wonder, like, the kids in Africa be like, I don't want that for dinner. Like, oh, you gonna eat this. But anyway, I didn't realize we were poor until I grew up. And I should have known, because we had 9 people in our house, okay? 3 bedrooms. It was my grandma's house. Great-grandma lived there. Grandma, mom, uncle, aunt, brother, sister, me, and a dog, okay? First of all, if 9 of y'all are poor, let the dog go. Let someone else give that dog a better life, okay? Because if you have a pet and your pet never eats pet food, y'all are poor. This dog ain't never seen no kibbles, no bits, no bacon strips, no PetSmart. He eating the same thing we eating for dinner, cornbread, fried chicken, greens. He got high blood pressure. Grandma got high blood pressure. Pill for her, pill for Rufus. He got all these years of fried chicken on his throat. He can't bark now. We had a burglar. He like... He smoking a Newport. He like, yeah. He got away. I couldn't...
You got 12 months. We can't give everything its own month. We only got the 12 months. Now, certain things you wouldn't want to put in the same month because people would get insulted and maybe take it the wrong way. Like if you put Crime Prevention Month and Hispanic Heritage Month in the same month. People would take it the wrong way. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're related. I'm saying people would take it the wrong way. You don't want to put those two things in the same month. Or what about Jewish History Month and Oktoberfest? You would want to separate those. This guy had a delayed reaction on that joke. Anyway, I'm Jewish myself, so I can, as you might have guessed, and every Christmas, you know, there's that argument that people have every Christmas. Should you say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas, right? Because some people say you should be inclusive and say Happy Holidays. But I don't really, if somebody says to me Merry Christmas, to be honest with you, as a Jew, it doesn't bother me. You know, it'd be a lot worse if they took one look at me and said Happy Hanukkah. That I wouldn't like, you know? Because that happened to me last year at Banana Republic. I was like, well, why are you saying Happy Hanukkah? He was like, well, you seem Jewish to me. I'm like, well, you shouldn't stereotype. Anyway, you got any good deals today? Any, what do you got on special? on special. I don't know if that's even a term anymore, on special.
So I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota, which is, you know what I really remember? I remember when I was, Christmas time was always the best. We'd go to grandma's house and then all the relatives were there, the good relatives, the bad relatives. And then the relatives you looked at and go, gosh, some of the DNA is in me too. Ooh, this is scary. You ever had that? Those are the scary guys. And then this is how we do it. Now, I don't know how you guys do your Christmas. Oh, here's how we do it. So we all sit around in a big semicircle around the tree. And we have to open up the gifts one, by infinity, by one. There's 150 gifts. And then sometimes you have to pass the gift around because you get, what did you get? What did you get this year? Pass that around so we can all see that. There we go. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's one of those baskets filled with smelly soap. Oh, it's potpourri. It's called potpourri. Oh. Don't eat that. That's not candy. That's soap. Oh, that'll go nice in your bathroom. Yes, we remodeled our bathroom, and we took pictures of the before and after with a little flip book. Would you like to see that? Yes, we would like to see that. That'd be very entertaining. Here, let me videotape this moment. We'll watch it again. Blah, 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 blah. And Walmart, a return on Monday. Okay, good. So we start from the youngest and go to the oldest, which means grandma, bless her heart, was at the end of the food chain of gifts. And I love my grandma dearly, but boy, she just milked the spotlight. You know, she just did. And there are the kids in the starting blocks, and here's grandma. She's in her black dress with her pearls, and she smelled of Ude toilet that she got from the Woolworths, a big jug of it. My God. Her hair, nice permy, salon perm. Oh, permy. Yeah, permy smell. Here's my grandmother opening up her gifts, and she smiled like this, too. Hey, smile, Grandma. That's good. All right. Here's my grandma opening up gifts. Maybe some of you can relate. Here she goes. Is this for me? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you shouldn't. This is just... Oh, it's such pretty wrapping paper. Can you see that? Isn't that pretty? Here, let's pass that around. Oh, that was quick. I'm going to save this bow. That's a pretty bow. I'm going to take that and put it in my bow bag. In my bow bag. Oh, I feel like I'm turning into Droopy the dog. My bow bag, sir. I'm so happy, my bow bag. And there's a little card. No, it's a tag identifying the gift. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas to Grandma. There was a little snowman on that. Here, let's pet. Oh, that was quick. I'll just put that in my boo bag. And here's my favorite line. Here it comes. Here it comes. I don't want to rip the paper. I want to save the paper for next year. Take it into my bedroom and iron it and put it in my special Christmas drawer, because in my mind I'm still in the Depression era. So we'll start over here or over here. I'll use my fingernail over here. Here's where kids come in handy. Kids just walked up to grandma and go, hurry up! It's a picture frame with us in it. And on the back, a coupon to Old Country Buffet. Move it! Where's Grandpa? Grandpa died waiting for it to open up the gift. Mama! So colorful to watch those kids spontaneously combust underneath the tree. My grandmother always set up this cardboard manger scene that she got from like Ben Franklin, and she had that shag carpeting. Do you guys remember the shag carpeting? So the manger scene never sat right. It looked, like the wise men are always like, like the, hey, they're into the myrrh, woo, They're just laying all over the place. And Joseph's neck got bent really bad, so he put a little fudsicle stick glued to his back. Looked like he was in a camel whiplash accident. And then the baby Jesus, disappeared for, 2 weeks. We finally found the kitty litter box. And Grandma said, that's no place for the baby Jesus. Kind of right about that, Grandma, so, yeah.
I actually got a Christmas card. My wife and I got a Christmas card from a friend of ours, him and his wife, for Christmas. It's just a photo of their dog. Just laying in the grass in the summertime. Not even Christmas themed. It annoyed me so much, I had to make a card. It's something I would never do, but I had to make a Christmas card with my own dog. I didn't get the proper weather. I'm going to try again when the weather changes, but don't steal this. This is great, man. I'm trying to get a photo of my dog taking a dump in the middle of a snowstorm with a Christmas hat on its head. Right? Yeah. And the card is going to say, Merry Christmas. And when you open it up, it's going to say, I hope you get a lot of good shit. And I had it set. I had it all set. Like, I wouldn't let the dog out of the apartment for like 6 hours. Really, I kept giving it biscuits. It's crying right by the door. I'm looking at my wife. We're going to bang this out in 10 minutes, no problem. But the dog wouldn't shit with the hat on. Like, every time I would do that tap like it's ready to shit, I'd put the hat on. It would shake the hat. I'm like, shit with the hat. Shit with the hat. Please. And my wife pulls away with the camera. She's like, we're being too cruel. We're being too cruel. Like, what are you talking about? This is what animals are here for. For your own entertainment. Sometimes I'll put a tight t-shirt on my dog and then I'll just crack a beer and watch it try to get the t-shirt off for a half hour.
For the little Jewish baby, even though it's a Jewish baby's birthday. I mean, really, when you look at it, what does Santa even have to do with God's baby? I'm basically just a wizard of joy. Oh, how I wish I had 8 nights to give out all these toys. I hate to see another Jewish chimney missed. The only thing on Santa's Christmas list are some Jewish kids to bring some gifts to, even if that's not what they're used to.
Santa could fly down a kosher chimney and place gifts beneath a menorah.
Ho, ho, ho,
he'd spin the dreidel with Bobby and Zadie and pick us up and dance the horror.
I'm tired of cookies and milk in my dreams. I'm getting fat on latkes and sour creams.
Let's add Santa on into Hanukkah.
I'll even put on a Santa yarmulke.
Cause Jews like cheer, Jews like joy, even when it's coming from a big old goy. Santa Claus is coming on Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Cupid. Gifts for one religion seems plain old stupid. Santa is a hottie, and as long as you're not naughty, you should get a little gift, because the presents make the party. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to the Jewish neighborhood in time.
Happy birthday to the most famous Jewish baby.
Latkes and cream, hey!
Those of you who were impressed, you're welcome. Those of you who are alienated, I'm sorry.
I don't drink. If you drink, please don't drink. And I know you don't watch cartoons. Cartoons and alcohol. I got a little back in the day. Turned into my favorite cartoon character from those Christmas claymation cartoons. Hermie the Elf from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember little Hermie when he talked? His mouth went faster than the other words that actually came out of his mouth. I came home a little. I said, hi, Dad. I'm Hermie. He said, great, when you're growing up now to be a drunk? I said, no, silly, I want to be a dentist.
a dentist.
I love doing that at karaoke, just messing with the people. Oh, is it my turn to sing? I don't know what I'm doing. And through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way.
I hate the holidays, man. I'm sick of the holidays, right? Can't stand it. I hate all holidays. Like, I don't even celebrate Black History Month. February 1st to the 28th, all I do is pick cotton and dance on white people's yards. Just jokes. These are just jokes. And that's the reason why I'm not a big fan of Christmas. Why I don't like Christmas is because my father never let me grow up to believe in Santa Claus. Yeah. And if you think about it, Santa's a fucked up concept, you know what I'm saying? Like, my father works all year, puts clothes on the back, food on the table, keeps the lights on. And the one time he can do something special for his kids, a big, fat, jolly white dude, get all the credit. My father would take it to real extremes, though. He would take it to real extremes. He would go out and buy the gifts in front of us. Have them wrap the gift in front of us. And then hand us the receipt. Card would say the same thing every year. To Junior, fuck Santa, love Daddy. One holiday I love, one holiday I'm a big fan of. Where are my Hispanics at? Where you at? Yes! Just happened, Cinco de Mayo. Get the Mayo. You know what it is. So, like, you know, Cinco de Mayo started to be like the new St. Patrick's Day. Everybody go out and drink, don't know what the fuck they drinking about. Right? So instead of like, kiss me, I'm Irish, y'all can put, raise my baby, I'm Mexican. Oh my God, that's so racist. That is so racist. Why would I say that? Because you already paid to get in. I'm sorry. You already said it.
My wife's name is Molly. Sounds Irish, but she is not Irish. Little curveball. I don't think we're going to have anyone in the room. My wife is Jewish. Do we have any Jewish friends here in Provo? Is Roseanne Barr in the room? Did she come back to Utah? She's the only Jewish person in Utah I can think of. Now, my neighborhood, we didn't have any Jewish families where I grew up, too, so I didn't know anything about the Jewish culture. But I'm learning, and I find with any religion or culture, there's more similarities than there are differences. There's a Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. I remember asking my wife, I go, hon, how do Jewish people celebrate Yom Kippur? And she says, we don't eat. I go, that's identical to a holiday in my culture, St. Patrick's Day. Thank you. Okay, all right. All right. Okay. But then she educated me. It turns out that's a serious holiday. I apologize. I go, what's the most festive Jewish holiday? My wife said, Christmas. She goes, we get Chinese food and go to the movies. I go, hey, that's better than my Christmas. So I'm coming off a great Christmas. If anyone's from a big family, you might have the system we have. We don't get every sibling a gift. We pick one name, give one sibling a gift. And it worked out perfect last winter. I picked my oldest brother. And I'll ask you, what do you think's a good present for someone who owes you money? I got him a gift certificate to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That felt real good. I go, there you go, Mark. Remember that 400 you owe me? It's down to 380. Happy holidays. I love the holidays, though, man. I love it. Anything with the little kids, I always like. Now, I've only been a father for two Christmases, but I've been an uncle for a long time. That's a sweet gig, too. That's what I tell a lot of young people. I go, don't let anyone pressure you to have children. You should pressure your siblings to make something. Because you can't beat aunt or uncle's the greatest, right? Because if you have kids, you have to love them all unconditionally. As an uncle, you pick your favorite. There you go. Oh, yeah. It's the best part of Christmas. How come you didn't get a Christmas present? Because you're hard to be around. That's why you didn't get a Christmas present. No, I'm not cheap. I bought your sister a pony. Look in the backyard. I got her a pony. I didn't think you guys would get behind that one. All right. You guys are a little meaner than I thought here in Utah. All right.
I was forcing him to go to bed the other day. Or as I like to call it, time for mommy to sit alone on the toilet and cry about the life she used to have. And to help settle him down, I get into bed with him and we're cuddling nose to nose and he raises his hand up to my face and I flinch. But then he gently places it on my cheek. And I stare into his eyes and I say to him, oh my God, I love you more than anything in the whole world. And that's incredible, considering how spirited you are. And he says to me, mommy, I love you more than anything in the world. Right after daddy. And Grammy. And Santa. But then you're next, you're fourth. Aw, buddy. I am Santa. So technically I'm third.